Here we go, Thursday, September 4th. And this morning, the city is hoping you don't take as long in the shower as you might normally. If you live here in Regina or even Moose Jaw, both cities are being asked to conserve water this morning. It's because of a water supply issue at the Buffalo Pound Treatment Plant. Coming up a little later on, Mayor Chad Baczynski is in studio at 7:42-ish, just around there. After the 7:30 news, we'll talk about water issues and how our taxes might be going up as much as $30 extra a year because of some water issues that we're looking into the future with. But we'll tackle that with the mayor a little later on. If you have any questions for Mayor Chad Baczynski, text me 1-877-300-7275. And before you leave to drop the kids off at school later or go to work, take a look around the front backyard. Consider what might blow away in the wind warning we are under. Yeah, there is an incoming cold front that is passing through rather quickly through southern Saskatchewan this morning. And as it transitions and pushes against this ridge of high pressure that's been giving us all this nice weather lately, the two systems are kind of slamming right over southern Saskatchewan. And we're expecting wind gusts as high as 90 kilometers per hour. And not backing off too greatly either through the evening either. They're still going to be gusting between 50 and 70 through the evening tonight. But yeah, 80 to 90 this morning, still windy through the evening. That's the kind of wind that loosens shingles, tosses loose patio furniture around, garbage cans. So look around the yard, see what you need to do as far as battening down the hatches there. And even on the highway, wind gusts like that can kind of catch you off guard. So be mindful. This wind warning in effect now. It's already gusting up to about 35 and close to 40 in some areas. But hey, coming up with Kevin Martell this morning, there will be more on this woman who calls herself the Queen of Canada that found herself in handcuffs yesterday. She and 15 others were arrested at that old school they've been living in, the small southwestern town of Saskatchewan called Richmond. And the whole community has been feeling terrorized by the group. And some people there have reflected on it as a cult. But that story and the headlines here this morning. And hey, it's Saskatchewan's 120th birthday today. Her honor, the Honorable Bernadette McIntyre, will stop by the Evan Bray Show later to help celebrate and share how her last 7 months as the province's 24th left-handed governor has been going for her. Just lovely, if I'm to believe what she told me a few weeks ago when I saw her at a function. Her honor was honored, literally, to be in the position. And Bernadette is such a great lady and have much appreciation for her. Looking forward to hearing her on the Evan Bray Show later to help celebrate Saskatchewan's 120th. Hey, you may have heard earlier in the week on Evan's show this guy from Saskatoon who is honoring the occasion with a new music video. His name is Bruce Thiessen. He lives in California now, but told Evan he was always happy to return to Saskatchewan where he was born. His stage name was Dr. BLT, and Evan played the song Gravel Roads. And by special request, I'm going to play a little more of it. I know some of you were listening and had some opinions. I'll play a little. Here's the song itself, Gravel Roads, honoring Saskatchewan.
Grandpa's barn, or this one, where my Uncle Pete went down the weed in the dry lands where they still pray for the rain. Gravel roads made of dust and stone, where the weed and oats and alfalfa is homegrown. Gravel roads take me through Saskatchewan. Gravel roads take me to my grave.
What do you think? I know what I think, but I'm going to hold back and just ask Simon Cowell. Simon, you?
It was dreadful. No, really dreadful.
No.
And I'm saying that to be kind, because
stop it.
You will never, ever, ever have a career in
Stop. I don't think I would have been quite so harsh. But thank you, Simon. An interesting song. Well, our Saskatchewan Roughriders got back to preparing for Winnipeg yesterday over at Mosaic Stadium, even piping in crowd noise to get ready for the atmosphere that they're likely to face Saturday. The Riders haven't won there in Winnipeg since 2018, and that was when Zach Caleros was our quarterback for the Riders, too. But Riders O-lineman Jamarcus Hardrick used to play for the Bombers. He said the fans can be noisy, so it's important to practice the silent count on offense, he said.
Always lose sleep over who I'm playing, but now you're thinking about the silent count. I won't get to see Willie until the ball is snapped. I'm watching the ball, doing all that. I just wish I can look at anybody I was playing against, so it's hard.
Yeah, the Bombers have won 13 Banjo Bowls compared to the Riders, 7. And, of course, the NFL is back tonight. The new NFL season kicks off. Cowboys ride into Philly to take on the Eagles. Yesterday in the Green Zone, CFL, NFL insider Dave Naylor was on with Jamie and Locker, and the boys were busy analyzing the AFC on Wednesday. Today they're going to go through the NFC, but does Mr. Naylor believe the Chiefs are still the team to beat in the AFC?
Look, I think they have to be because they went back to the Super Bowl last year. They still have Patrick Mahomes. They've played without a dynamic offense for a number of years, so that's not new. You figure the offense is probably only going to be a little more big play than it's been in the last few years, and the defense is basically the same personnel back under the same coordinator. The part against them, and this is one of those things where you're betting against the extreme, and that I mean the one-score game thing. Yes, they're a great situational football team. Yes, Patrick Mahomes makes great decisions with the game on the line, but the complete serendipity of their victories, one after another, I don't think can repeat itself. I'm going to say they are still the team to beat, but I will be less surprised this year if the Chiefs are not the team standing in the Super Bowl representing the AFC than I would have been in any of the more recent years. Yeah, so I'm saying still the team to beat, but beatable.
There you go. Mr. Naylor will return to the Green Zone later this afternoon to go over the NFC, too. Hey, actor Denzel Washington is a big Dallas Cowboys fan. He'll be watching tonight. He was on Jimmy Kimmel the other night promoting this new movie of his called Highest to Lowest. And Jimmy asked him this.
And I know you're a big Dallas Cowboys fan. Do you feel Jerry Jones is doing a good job running the team?
Let me tell you, Highest to Lowest is a great movie.
That's yeah. What I feel.
He's passionate about his Cowboys and was pretty upset about the latest departure. One other thing out of this interview that I learned, it seems every one of us has been mispronouncing Denzel Washington's name. And we got to thank his mom for that.
Did you know that there are currently 4 players named Denzel in the NFL?
I know.
Before your
There's a lot of Denzels now.
There weren't that many before your first Oscar. There were 0 in 1987.
And this is how you know they named themselves after me. Because, wait a minute, because my name's not pronounced Denzel. My name's pronounced Denzel.
Oh.
I'm Denzel Jr. My father's Denzel Hayes Washington Sr. I'm Denzel Hayes Washington, Jr. My mother would say, Denzel, and we both show up. So she said, from now on, you're Denzel. That's how we got pronounced Denzel.
Oh, that's smart.
She said, you're Denzel. You're Denzel, and you're Denzel.
All right, so it's not Denzel, it's Denzel. But I'll go with Denzel as the mass majority, and I don't think he minds. Little emphasis there on the first syllable. Okay, now you know. Hey, coming up. Mayor Chad Baczynski is here after 7:30 news. If you have any questions for our mayor, text me 1-877-300-7275, and I'll pass them on to Mr. Mayor. And wasps, kind of nutty on the September-long weekend in your backyard, perhaps, especially during barbecue time, but they always seem to be a little worse here these first couple weeks of September. So Sean Sherwood from Poulin's Pest Control is going to pop by next hour and give you a few tips on fighting wasps. Catch me around here, but you ain't around here. Keep putting on down you, another round you, till my down rolls up. Lit up like that one stop light. Across a man, welcome sound. Ever since you caught that. The preseason action. A lot of buzz around the Pats because of the rookies, right? Liam Pugh and Maddox Schultz, who are both on the same line last night in the starting lineup in preseason action in Swift Current. Pats lost 2-1 to the Broncos, but Maddox had Regina's only goal, and Liam Pugh was also awarded an assist on that one, too. They will open up their preseason at home tomorrow against the Week Kings. And in a few weeks from now, I think it's around the 24th, 26th, the Pats regular season opens up. But don't quote me on that exact date. I know, though, that the Blue Brigade is doing all they can to put more bums in seats there. And with some young talent, maybe that'll happen, too. They won't be at every game, but the way the rules are. But it'll be fun to go to the Brand Center perhaps again this year. Now, Sean Sherwood from Poulin's Pest Control chatted with me recently about the escalating wasp problem here in our city. There always seems to be extra wasps buzzing around more often early September. And I started with asking Sean, how do you make your home less appealing to wasps from the very start?
Well, early in the spring, usually the start of April, the juvenile queens that have overwintered or hibernated come out and they look for a location to build a nest. It can be underground, it can be under a step, it can be hanging from an eave or in a hedge. They try and find an area where there is going to be no competition and ample food. So those gray fake paper nests that you can buy, if you get one of those up really at the start of April, juvenile queen's going to be flying around and go, oh, this might be a really nice place for me to set up a nest and have lots of food, make lots of babies. And they see another nest sitting there that's the size of a basketball already. They're going to go, we're going to get slaughtered here. I'll move on. But after they've started a nest somewhere, those don't work very well anymore.
How concerning are wasps when it comes to like cracks, open areas of your home itself, maybe along the foundation? Are they like bees? Will they enter or is that a problem?
They will enter and they don't mind building a nest underground or in the crack of your foundation and then they get up into the walls. The bad thing is that then you've got a big nest to deal with over the course of the summer and into the fall. The good thing is that once winter comes, the nest is never reused again. They all die off. So you can either treat it during the summer or fall, or you can just let them die out. But if it's going into a crack and you can't get at it, you can't see that gray paper nest, you're going to have to do it with a powder instead. The sprays are only active for about 15 minutes. So all you're going to do when you put that into a crack or crevice is just harvest a few at the surface. Not going to really make much of a dent. We would walk in there during the day because we're very experienced, assess the situation and use the appropriate tool on it, be in and out in about 10 minutes.
Okay, well, that's wasps. What else is happening in Saskatchewan, Sean, that you're getting calls about?
Our number one pest now, Greg, is the German cockroach.
Still.
We're doing three or four of them a day.
I find every time I talk to you, say that's the number one. How come it hasn't gotten any better, the population here? You've been fighting just about every other home, it seems.
Absolutely. And part of the problem is that we just don't have the tools anymore. The chemicals that we have, they're becoming resistant to, and we're not getting any new toys from Ottawa. And I'm not sure what we're going to do except keep fighting the good fight.
If someone has spotted these cockroaches, just for identity purposes here, are they big? Are they small?
They're about 3/4 of an inch long as an adult. The younger ones are obviously smaller than that. They are a light tan color, and they have black markings on the top of them, and they're really, really fast.
Are they coming from my neighbors who might have had a problem, or how do they get into my home?
They're great hitchhikers. They don't live outdoors in Saskatchewan, not even in the summer, so they have to be brought in, usually in a backpack or a bag of some sort, a lunch kit from kids going from one site to another. They're great hitchhikers, so you either brought them in from somewhere that you were, or somebody that came to visit you decided to leave you a little welcome gift.
Wasps. Cockroaches. Anything else, Sean, before I hang up on you? What else do I got to be worried about?
The bed bugs are starting to make a comeback.
Bed bugs?
Oh, yeah.
Man, you have been busy. Okay.
My job is to make you squirm, Greg.
Sean, thank you so much for all your time and experience. As always, wonderful to talk to you, Sean.
Anytime.
Well, look around the yard before you leave for work today and know that there's a wind warning. 90K wind gusts are coming, already kicking up over 70 this hour, batten down the hatches. I know I yanked the hammock off its chain here this morning and brought it in so it wasn't going to be whipping in the wind and some of the patio furniture too, but you might want to look around your yard just to see if everything is secure before you leave for work or dropping the kids off from school. And know this too, if you're just waking up, could you go with a little shorter shower? Moose Jaw and Regina are being asked to conserve water right now because of a power outage at the Buffalo Pond Water Treatment Plant. which has lowered the overall water supply. This is on a voluntary basis for now. Nothing mandatory yet. Could we get there? Well, we'll ask Mayor Chad Baczynski. He'll be dropping by after 7:30 news this morning for his in-studio visit. If you have a question for the mayor, text me, 1-877-300-7275. Prime Minister Mark Carney said he chatted with President Trump Monday night over tariffs and more.
I last spoke to the president Monday evening. I spoke at length on a wide range of issues, including on trade, but geopolitical other issues, labor issues, etc. It was a good conversation. We have a team, a very senior team. The clerk of the Privy Council is there in Washington as we speak, that is meeting with the U.S. counterparts. Don't expect immediate white smoke on one of these strategic sectors, but that's the type of conversation that we're having.
The Prime Minister said Wednesday as well he and other senior officials would work to resolve the dispute with China over tariffs that Beijing has imposed on canola. Premier Scott Moe is in Saskatoon today ahead of his trip to China, which I believe he leaves for tomorrow in order to have some talks to persuade Beijing to drop tariffs on Canadian canola imports, too. The Riders were back to practice yesterday. They are headed to Winnipeg for the Banjo Bowl. Bombers have won 13 compared to the Riders' 7 Banjo Bowls. And CJME Rider reporter Britton Gray said Nelson Lacombo was still in a walking boot at practice yesterday. They were piping in crowd noise just to practice to get used to it for Saturday. Coach Corey Mace has spoken too. He's backing Brett Lawther, even though he recognizes he has not been playing up to his standard.
Certainly in the totality of the season, no, not to his standard, not to our standard. In the same breath, looking at everything of what he's done, and also different other circumstances. I thought he had a better day, you know, not, you know, the 100% that everybody's looking for, you know, but him being able to kick through it, showing improvement is what we're looking for. We're still always looking at, you know, how the performance is from that standpoint. But, you know, we've been lucky enough to still push through and win some football games.
Look, I think we all realize the Riders aren't losing because of Brett Lawther. I think most of us get that, but I'm sure you'll recall this play when quarterback Trevor Harris Sunday had the pooch kick here.
And he's going to punt kick. It. And a good one it is for Harris as Nichols takes it down at the goal line and then gets tackled in the end zone.
So did the coach make the decision for that play because he was concerned about Lawther's kicking abilities? Here's what he said.
No, I wouldn't say that specifically. You know, it was something we talked about going into the game as a you know, we were expecting some pretty good win there going towards Pill Country anyway, so that's traditionally, you know, we're always looking at that. And then certainly to catch him off guard, which I think worked out in our favor as well. So, you know, I think we've seen to this point, there's been many times we put him out there and we expect the job to get done. So we'll continue to do that.
Green Zone analyst Daryl Davis, a little more direct with the coach and asking him if he's lost faith in Brett.
We've asked lots of times, how many chances does he get?
Until we see that he doesn't, but hopefully it doesn't come to that.
All right, I'm putting this to rest. I said yesterday I think they should be making the change. That was just my personal opinion. Put him at least on the practice roster, but so be it. Coach is standing by, Mr. Lawther, and this will either end up being a great redemption story or a what-were-you-thinking story. Seems Coach Mace is sticking his neck out big time, if you ask me, but hey. Always proud to support the Riders again in Winnipeg on Saturday. It's 6:28 now.